That must have been Doug doing 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, right? Hi, this is Lynn. This is, I'm trying to learn how to do Heise's job. So, anyone want to?
Please announce it.
Oh, yeah, thank you, but why don't you do it?
This is Ron in Mountain Grove.
Hi, Ron.
Hi, Ron.
Hey, Lynn, how's it going?
You should be doing this. I forgot how to do this part of it.
No, you're too funny.
Marshall.
I mean, you're too good at it.
Marshall from Lake Villa.
Marshall.
How you doing, brother?
Hey, Marshall, you're supposed to do my job tonight, okay? So I'll see you later, okay? Just hang on.
Okay.
Keep everyone entertained for an hour.
Go ahead, announce yourself.
Donna from Great Falls, Montana.
Hi, Donna.
Welcome to the show.
Hello, Donna.
Hi, guys. Hello, Lynn. How is everyone?
We love you, Donna.
Thanks, Lydia. I appreciate that. I love you all, too, very much. Very, very much.
Hello, not yourself.
Donna started bawling, now she got me bawling. Donna, why'd you do that?
What? I'm sorry. I was crying.
Are you okay, Donna?
I'm still upset.
You know what? One of the guys that's been on our call for a long time, Donna was really good friends with, just about a week and a half ago, died in his sleep. And she's really busy. Oh. And I am too. You know,
yeah.
He was a really great guy.
Still is.
Yeah.
That's a good way to die in your sleep. It's not for other people, but for the person that's dying.
Well, that's true. It's a lot better than being tortured.
Yeah. Exactly. It's a very pleasant way to.
He was ill before he died.
He was what?
Yeah. Is Terry there?
Yeah.
Oh, you got back in time. Can you speak? Yeah. No, you're on the road. Are you? You're not on the road still?
No, I'm back.
You are.
Yeah.
Okay. And Doug, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
No, Doug at BBS. See, he's not going to show up.
Oh, yeah.
Now,
hey, it's Chris in Memphis.
Hi, Chris. Well, we've been thinking about you. You know that, Chris?
I don't know if you guys.
Oh, really?
Now I hear you.
Can you hear me?
No. It's too loud. You're fine now. You're fine. Chris, whenever I think about you, that's good. Chris, whenever I think about you, I don't know if I get worse or you get better.
Yeah, I don't know either. Maybe a little both. Maybe it's balancing itself out.
I don't mind. Okay. So I'm gonna mute everybody.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
Now let's see if we hear Duck.
You hear me?
Duck.
Can you hear me?
I hear you, Duck.
Can you hear me?
All right. Yeah, Terry, are you there? We hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, so we're good to go. Just hang in there. Don's not in the background, eh? Okay, so let's just talk about him now before he arrives. Let me see, I got to mute those callers. Hang on.
All callers are muted.
Okay, so I announced today, I've been meaning to do this for a long time and make it really easy for myself on a Monday. Now, Mondays are kind of like stretching out after Sunday because our Sunday call is always so intensely, it's intense. It's a real intense coming together. And it's like Monday is like decompression, you know? And so I decided I was going to play a really historic archived call. And this was in 2005. And at that time, I don't think I was doing conference calls at all. And keep in mind, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce came out in 2004. I got to mute those. Let me mute those things there.
All callers are unmuted.
Good.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
Hang on. Okay, there we go. So there was a woman in, I forget her name, I forget where she was, but she was kind of paying attention to my work, but I wasn't doing conference calls. And she told me there was this guy that was going to start doing radio shows and that I should talk to him. And called him up, and his name was Don Newsom. And Don's brother, Doug, is here right now. And Doug, were you in on it at that time? Were you working shoulder to shoulder with Don? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, you're Don's twin brother, right?
Yeah. I'm sorry, everyone. Nobody. I'm Don's twin brother, Doug. Hi. You might have heard a lot of mumbling like... That wasn't me.
Well, do you look like Don?
That was my twin brother. I look so much like him, I can blame him.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, do you have a DNA connection with him sometimes?
I think we have a connection with everything that exists. Mm-hmm. What we focus mm-hmm. on is, you know, our connection, you know, at that moment. But yes, I believe there are pathways that are probably clearer between he and I. As you come close to friends, you get those pathways. You know, women that are together, they start to menstruate at the same time. So in many ways,
yeah,
twins are just closer than that.
Yeah, well, you and Don have different dispositions, though.
Mm-hmm. I'm reflective.
Say that.
Yeah. Yeah, there are too many differences. Too many differences, but they.
Let's not go through them. Well, in any case, this woman introduced me to Don, and I told Don my story. You know, my girlfriend, two girlfriends, and after I told him, he said, "When you've got the most far out story of anyone I ever heard. How would you like a radio show?" And I said, "Absolutely not." I mean, at that time, I didn't have anybody paying attention to me. I couldn't have imagined what I would talk about every week on a radio show, and I didn't know who was going to even be listening. So I told him no. But then I told him, "I'll tell you what, I'll tell my story in a cassette, and if you want to play it, you can play it." And so I sent it to him, and he played the cassette. And I don't know if anyone listened. I mean, you know, playing a song on the internet into this huge internet universe. How's anyone going to find it? Who knows? But it wasn't a song, it was a story. But then Don started calling me, and we started having these really creative discussions. And I thought they were really interesting. So I told Don, I said, why don't we just record our discussions? In fact, I did. I recorded one, and I didn't tell him. And I sent it to him, and I said, why don't you put this on the radio and call it the Don and Wynn Show? And so we did. And then every week, we would be having discussions about God knows what. And truthfully, I was just wanting to get my story out. I had this amazing story, and I thought it was important, but, you know, it was not easy to put into the world at that time. And so we have this ongoing show. And, of course, Daphne, who she was still involved. She was still involved. She would come in on the calls. She was living, I think she was living in Cape Cod. And she was, so she thought, the whole thing was so crazy, and no one would ever pay attention to it.
You know, if I was pretending to be Don, you would have not got this long of a chance to speak. You know this, right? You know this. You know there would be interjections at regular intervals, throwing your conversation to the wind and giving you a zinger. Right?
Right.
I can pull this off.
Right. Okay.
I'll let Dawn arrive, and you'll just know.
We'll know he's there. So now, Daphne, who said no one's going to be interested in this, this is too crazy, and I was doing the Don and Wynn Show, and I invited her to be on the show as a guest. I said, well, maybe she'll think this is important. And so she came, and for the first part of the show, she was mostly talking about how I ruined her life. And I said, oh, my God, what have I gotten myself into?
They will see that.
What?
I'd like to welcome you to the...
And then, I'm just queuing it up here, and then...
that you were wonderful, you knew completely.
The Santa Cruz Mountains, you know, just as the ocean had to do with the emotion.
And then, so this was our first time this happened to them. They predicted a new.
Okay, that's the show. Right. So then in the middle of the show, she says they want to say something.
All right.
Is that okay?
I apologize. This is Don. You caught me off guard there. Forgive me. Hello, everybody. This is the other half of the twins of the Don and Wynn Show. So there's that.
Hey, Don, your brother's doing too. Is that Doug?
This is Don. This is your bro. Yeah.
Don, tell me what happened on the very last Don and Wynn Show. Tell me. Come on. Fess up.
I don't know. Was I hammered? I was probably drunk.
Yep.
Or no?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I was hammered out of my skull. I was having way too much scotch, which is something I relish. And heck, when you're me and you're working all the time, you party on the job. Well, there's nowhere else to go, right? So if you're working 24/7, you just party when you can. And when I started out this business, I was working 24/7, so I partied when I could, and I did. And, you know, it just became a part of my, lesser charm, maybe. I'm sure it didn't win me any favors.
Now you're working 48/7, right?
Well, of course.
Don was deteriorating. The show went on for over 2 years, and Don was continually deteriorating, and decided his role was to be the devil's advocate, underline devil there, which is, and he would come on the show and he'd be making fun of me and attacking me and being drunk. I remember our last show. Terry and I were in. Terry, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Wow, hi.
We were actually in a haunted motel in Palm Springs. We had to quick stop and get a motel so we could do this show. And I said, I'm not going to do this anymore. So I'm going to play the replay tonight. You don't have to listen, Don. You've been there and done that. I'm going to. You remember when we had Daphne on as a guest, and how in the middle of it she was complaining about me ruining her marriage, and then in the middle of the show she said they want to say something. You remember that, right, Don?
You know, it's been a decade ago, so you know, there's not a lot I recall readily. I'd have to, yeah.
You're probably drunk. What the hell?
Yeah, you know.
It was a decade ago.
Yeah, my memory on that, if I was had been drinking, wouldn't be so good. Yeah. You know.
All right, we got to stop.
You know, it's pretty hard. It's pretty hard to start a media company without drinking.
Are we going to run over tonight? Do you have a show right after mine?
We do have a show right after yours, so you're going to have to get started right away. Yep, but we can run it right up to the top of the hour. That'll, you know, I don't like to do that, but we can.
And
okay. Well, I'm not going to start it at the beginning. I'm going to start it about 25 minutes in. And
perfection.
Or 23 minutes.
Some of it intuitively feels right.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
It can be validated, and the sources.
Well, thank you for coming on. And
yeah,
do it again sometime.
Yeah, you caught me a little off guard. Forgive me. But I'd love to spend some time with you. I miss you.
Next time.
I love you.
Next time, I'll give you some advance notice. And you can come on drunk.
Hey! Just like old times. I can roll that way.
Amaze me.
I can get into character.
The lovingness and care for the human condition.
Okay.
And the readings, you can read the readings on Conversations with My Girlfriend and draw your own conclusions. But
Conversations with My Girlfriend, I didn't renew it, is now a porn script. Porn site. So don't go there.
Basically, people are, especially the people checking into Blogger, are all worried about Earth changes and this, that, and the other thing. And what they keep saying, what they say over and over again, is that we are the Earth changes. You, who are the listeners, are the Earth changes. I.e., how much could you stay tuned in to this frequency? And I wanted to, talk about some of the ways that I've learned that helped me stay tuned in that maybe might help you. Okay to talk about, Don?
I think it would be actually quite excellent.
Yeah. So, first of all...
Okay, that's enough.
your mother's going to yell at me tonight. I'm hogging the show. Is your mother listening?
You know, she probably is. So
Hildy,
you're going to have to be careful.
Hildy, we'd like to say hello. We want you to know that Girlfriend X had some health recommendations for you through Doug. So do what he says, okay? And now, back to the agenda of the show.
Thank you, Wynn.
This is Wynn live making a side comment. You'll notice I said Girlfriend X. I was scared to say her name live. And Girlfriend Y. I mean, keep in mind, I was not putting this out publicly. It was 2005. My book came out. Daphne was so psychically attacked that I referred to as Girlfriend X.
This is like... Okay.
The other side also knew that she was of German extraction.
Ah! So, you mean... They knew that she was from Austria, Germany?
Yeah, and it's interesting because I've spent a lot of time there.
Mm-hmm.
I lived in Switzerland for many years, and I spent
beautiful.
A lot of time in Vienna. And in fact, I just 2 days ago, reconnected with my German teacher who I lived with in Switzerland 20 years ago, and I had lost contact with her about 10 years ago.
Mrs. Flauchild.
Nine. Oh. Ursula Zwingli.
Oh.
And she's a direct descendant of Zwingli, the Protestant reformer. You know, you had Martin Luther.
Right, right.
Calvin, and then you had Zwingli in Switzerland. She's a direct lineage from the 1500s. And so it was, it's very kind of interesting, synchronistic.
Yeah, that is.
Okay, now where were we? Here I am telling everybody how to stop Earth changes and connect with the Galactic Center, and you guys are talking about music teachers.
But you know what? It's important because his mother is from an area very close to some of the highest mountains on the Earth,
mm-hmm.
the Alps. And mm-hmm. what we're doing right now is we are grounding energy.
Mm-hmm.
And so mountains, the Himalayas, the Alps, and I used to live on top of the mountains in the Bay Area, the Santa Cruz Mountains.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just as the oceans have to do with the emotions,
mm-hmm.
the mountains have to do with stabilizing frequency.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking about ascending frequency.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, one of the points of information that came through this evening from the other side was that if we can hold a frequency of 3.7 or higher, we will not experience the physicalization of traumatic earth changes the way that people below that threshold will. So it's up to our own consciousness as to what we will experience.
That I totally and absolutely believe.
So I want to create the visualization here so that the people listening can tap into that frequency. That's
mm-hmm.
my goal.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I'm going to do it, but that's my goal for this show. So, first of all, we want to visualize something. Visualize that our solar system is moving through this energy that the spiritual people have had a name for, all kinds of names. Call it etheric energy. Wilhelm Reich called it orgone energy, Shakti energy, unified field. Russians call it toroid wave radiation. That's what it was referred to in my book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. There's this energy that our planet is moving through. And this energy has peaks in it where it gets very strong. And as our planet moves through those peaks, it changes things down here. The peaks come every 75,000 years. The reason the Mayan calendar ends in 2012 is because the Mayans were connected with interdimensional sources where they could get this information, and they ended their calendar right on the exact point of the peak. Now, as far as I know, nothing is going to happen special on that exact date. It's already happening now. It's going to continue to happen through that date, and continue to happen, you know, maybe 10 years forward from that date, at least as far as we can tell. Now, what's it mean to be going through a peak of energy? It's causing a vibration that energy is the same energy that a human feels when they meditate, when they lift their vibration, when their chakras are open. It's the same energy. The same energy, I believe I could say it's the same energy that acupuncturists work with. It flows in our body. It's not normally recognized by science, but everybody knows what it is. When you walk into a room, you feel good vibes. It's that energy. So right now, where you are is that energy. You are in that peak of energy that's flowing around our planet. And what's being asked is for you to be a conduit for that energy, i.e. to let it flow through you and not block it. What does it mean to let it go through you? It means opening yourself up. Now, everyone is different in their ability to do this. So what we're going to do on this show is just
try to create the visualization that you can tap into to allow you to have that experience and a reference point for what that means to open yourself up and let this energy flow through you. Because when it happens, you know it happened. You can feel it. There's something, there's tingling, there's goosebumps, there's stuff that happens in your body. But as you get used to it happening, you don't feel that. The first times it happens, you feel all kinds of, you know, you're doing a quantum leap from where you normally are to something new. And then after a while, you hold that, and it's just part of your normal waking consciousness. Well, the first thing that happens when you decide you want to open up to this energy is every area that's in your body that is blocked suddenly starts to release. So oftentimes, you'll get an experience of that energy, and then you're going to reintegrate it because your body's going to be throwing up all its blocked patterns. We all have blockages in different areas. That's a very unique thing. Some people have, you know, their chest blocked. Some people have their sexual area blocked. Sometimes a lot of New Age people open up their higher areas and don't and ignore their lower areas. And what happens is, although you feel this energy and you have all this experience, it doesn't flow all the way through your body into the earth. Now, part of healing the planet, part of keeping earth changes out of your area has to do with letting it flow into the earth. Now, there's two ways to release your body to allow this energy to flow. And I call it, and this is something, this is my own personal way of looking at this after studying life all these years. It's evolution from the bottom up and evolution from the top down. And from the bottom up has to do with saying, I've got all these blockages, and I've got to release them. And so you then go get therapy, you get all these different techniques for releasing blockages. Some people take you back to past lifetimes. And theoretically, at the end of all of this, you've opened up your energies, and you're flowing in this cosmic bath, so to speak. Now, the other way is from the top down. The top down doesn't require going through all this stuff, although you'll go through it a little bit. It's more like saying, how do I connect the higher energies and work them through me? It's kind of, it's what Jesus referred to as grace and service. It's like we have all these beings. And I've learned this from all these conversations that I've had with girlfriend X and girlfriend Y, if she's listening. We have girlfriend X on the show, but girlfriend Y has been played a very important part in this whole evolution process that I've gone through. So I want to give her some acknowledgement. We wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for her. So now I forgot what I was saying.
This is Lynn making a comment. Of course,
girlfriend X was Daphne, and girlfriend Y was Terry. And, geez, I was really sharp on this show. This was before we ever did a grid healing, before we ever, I don't think we did our conference calls at all at this time. We only started doing conference calls after I stopped doing the Don and Wynn show. Okay, here's back to the tape.
It's like through all the questions and answers and then validating it and putting it against my own experience and my growth, I've had this phenomenal experience of how you can open up to these interdimensional sources and they can actually start working with you in a dream state. And they can, actually, you do it. I say they do it. They don't do it. You do it. But you get help if you want it. You get assistance. And you get assistance first from your own
as Carla Ruckert said, your own immediate guides. And, you know, most of us have this veil. We don't even believe that exists, but I'm telling you, it's real. And the first thing is to start paying attention to your dreams, because although we have this veil in our waking consciousness about what's actually happening on the on these other dimensions, in your sleep state, you move into the other dimensions, and you can make a direct connection with your own source of wisdom, which is higher than your regular source. And, you know, myself, when I first did this, I did this, you know, about 3 years ago, put a pad by my bed, and suddenly I'm getting message after message after, I'm waking up with these sentence fragments that I thought were myself, but they couldn't have been. They started predicting things in my future, and I became really clear that...
Do you mind if I ask Miss a few questions?
Am I getting boring here? I'm ranting and raving too long?
I don't know.
Maybe I am. Okay, go ahead. Ask this X a couple questions.
Well, Miss X, you were saying that mountains and various areas have various energy, I guess, signatures to them, is what you're meaning. And I kind of wanted a little more explanation on that, because I've heard that quite a bit, and I understand it, I believe, but I'd like to hear more about that as far as when it comes to bodies of water, oceans, mountains, forests, and what kind of energy they provide, and the significance.
Well, from the information that I've intuitively gathered and read about, and also what's coming from various sources on the other side, especially in the last year or so, from what I understand, the Earth, just like a human body, has, if you've ever looked at an acupuncture chart, it has hundreds of points, and one point, you know, on the foot might control the kidney or the liver, or a point on the hand might control the pineal gland.
Right.
So there's all of these electromagnetic ley lines, you know, in the human body as well as in the Earth. So that you can think of the Earth herself as a body, and her lakes and rivers and streams and mountains have certain purposes, certain functions. Just as our hands perform a certain function, our feet, our kidneys, our intestines, our ears. And I couldn't tell you per se what, for example, Lake Michigan's function is. Although I've heard again and again and again that fourth dimensionally, the Mount Shasta region is the root chakra for the New Jerusalem, or Terra, or the fourth dimensional Earth. I've heard that again and again and again.
Right.
I've also heard that places in the Yucatan, Machu Picchu, Cozumel, and Chichen Itza are very important points. And places in the Andes, the Alps, of course, and then you have the Himalayas, and the Hawaiian Islands, you know, where the newest land on the planet is being formed.
Right.
So, I mean, in any kind of a even quasi-scientific way, I couldn't really tell you what the meanings of the places are, but people who are sensitive can certainly go to a place, you know, go to the Oregon coast and hang out on the water.
Yeah.
It has a very, very specific feeling to it. Go to Big Sur. Go drive down, you know, the California highway, the coast near Monterey, where Wynn and I met. It has a very, very powerful, distinct energy, some of the most powerful on the planet, I think.
Well, they were saying the some of these areas, like you're speaking of, can help, I guess, help you open up your chakras and different chakras depending on different places. Like you were saying, Mount Shasta, from what I understand, it's the root chakra again, but it also deals in communication. Mm-hmm. And like Wynn's area, if you were to take Sedona area, I hear that's a melting pot of all the different chakras where all the different energies melded in. So if you go to, if somebody goes to Sedona, they're really going to get a feeling, a lesser degree, but a feeling of all the different energies from around the world in one spot.
What I've heard, I think that's true. What I've heard of Sedona is that it's a vortex point, both a female and male vortexes, and it acts as an amplification point, one of the most powerful on the planet. So whatever issues a person is going through will surface at
right.
that time. So if you want to go changes extremely fast,
go to
Sedona. So if you're fairly clear, it's a good place for you. If you've got a lot of issues to work through, it's a place to go spend some time, but then you need to retreat because too much comes up too fast. It's too hard to process.
Well, also when it comes to, here's a question. Actually, it was one that I've been meaning to ask somebody, anybody. But I think you'd probably be able to answer this. I've heard when I was younger, I forget where I got this, but I don't really know what to think of it, but I tend to believe it, and that is animals. And I don't know how familiar you are or what sort of connection you may have with the Devic kingdoms and the animal kingdom and so on. But if you're a person that cannot kill an animal, let's say you can't hunt, you don't eat meat, you respect, all animals. You won't even kill a little spider or a little fly or a bug. If you got a little ant in your house, you're actually going to pick him up and move him outside. I mean, to such a daunting degree of respect for life that when you go out in nature, animals come to you. You can, they will actually communicate with you more. There will be no animal that will have any fear of you whatsoever. Now, that's what I hear. In other words, somebody who absolutely doesn't destroy any animal life at all can be a person that can walk up to the most ferocious beast in the wilderness, and that animal is not going to be anything but docile towards its individual.
Well, if you believe the stories about St. Francis, who supposedly had perfected love in his heart, and supposedly was a vegetarian,
mm-hmm.
The animals loved him so much that they followed him around all the time, and the birds were always landing on his shoulders and squawking in his ears, and he had to say, please, silence, sometimes. I think it's very true. I had an experience about 5 or 6 years ago, I guess. I was I did some work for the Dominican Sisters in the contemporary monastery. The Dominican Sisters, a cloistered order,
right
in Menlo Park. And I was driving, and I was about to turn into the driveway, and I saw this tiny little squirrel in the middle of the road. And I thought he was injured, and I pulled off, and it was a baby. And I'm not sure what, it was a very strange experience. I went over to him, he just looked at me, I looked at him, he didn't look like he was hurt, I picked him up, I cradled him, I walked across the street, I put him in the monastery garden with St. Francis' statue, and he ran off. It was a squirrel in the middle of the street. And, normally they don't let you get anywhere near them.
Yeah.
Unless you have some food or something.
Yeah. Yeah, and, that's amazing.
Yeah.
John, I wanted to add that having a pet is one of the best ways of helping your own energies get balanced. Because a dog, for example, will respond to your heart chakra. And the heart chakra is one of the hardest they keep open in today's world. That's why people love dogs so much.
That's a good point.
It's something that somebody is feeling alienated and alone. Getting a pet will help them have this cosmic contact better. Do you want to comment on that, X?
Oh, I mean, I am a kitty cat fanatic. We rescued 4 baby kittens that were abandoned on the side of the mountain road we lived on, and I insisted on keeping all 4 of them. And my husband thought I was nuts, but within the week, he'd fallen in love with them, too.
Your former husband?
Yes, my former husband.
Thank you.
And at that time, he was. And they became our children, especially my children. And they're still in California because I can't have them here. The people that I rent this house from are very allergic to animals. And so I volunteer at the shelter here, and I work with little feral kittens. And I'm just kind of crazy about cats, but also dogs. My mother, she now takes care of a little Shih Tzu, and Wynn had a dog, Obi, who's now being taken care of by girlfriend Y's friend from Sedona,
mm-hmm.
who's a very sweet little terrier, and used to be extremely attached to Wynn, and now is extremely attached to this other person.
Actually, I was recommended by the Elohim to give Obi to him, because he needed him worse than I did.
And it's helped this person tremendously.
Is that like Obi as in Obi-Wan?
That's right.
Yep.
Actually, his name has changed. I call him Obi. Now he's called Sir Doggo.
Sir Doggo. How do you feel lately? I mean, Miss X, because I tell you, lately the energies, you know, I'm feeling them more and more and more, and they're getting, they're seeming to be more balanced, even though it seems to be a little more chaotic out in the world, politics and so on, and weather-wise it's starting to clamor again. But I don't know, I guess the energies are starting to become more and more pronounced. It just feels like that, and when we bring those energies within us, it just seems to be a really wonderful balancing system. I don't know. I mean, maybe you could help me put some sort of a...
Well, I think it very much depends on the individual and where they are in their process. For some people, this is a very excruciating time. For those who have been on the path and are very committed and have really been working on their stuff, I think that it's kind of like being in a dark tunnel and finally seeing some light.
Yeah.
I noticed that after the 11/11 change in November, and now we're on the eve of the 12/12. Today is, I guess, we're going into the... Well, in 2 hours here on the East Coast, it's going to be December 11th. These are kind of cosmic synchronicities that have to do with sacred geometry, and I really do think it has to do with some kind of acceleration of infusion of energy into the latent strands of our DNA, which is also connected with the cycles of our sun, which is supposedly also going through huge changes and
huge,
acting in
yeah.
ways that scientists at NASA can't explain. And also, if people are interested in this, if they are to go to David
Ascension2000.com
website,
yeah.
Ascension2000, or maybe his new one, he explains a lot about some of the geocosmic changes going on in our local solar system that don't make mainstream news, and the polar ice melting on Mars and gravitational fields increasing 300% on Pluto. All this has happened in the last 5 to 7 years.
Yeah, it's amazing. kept so quiet. Which,
yeah, you,
which,
you don't, unless a person has a specific interest in science, people don't know about
people
it.
People don't know. Yeah, they're right in the dark, and these changes are so paramount.
And of course,
and,
there's no global warming going on. President Bush, you know, thinks that's crazy. So.
Well, he also thinks that the Constitution is just a piece of paper.
we're not political on this show.
Well, that's right. You know, we have a wonderful. I just wanted to announce this because I promised I would. We have a wonderful new show that's going to be airing today at 10 to 11 by a lady named Liz. Excuse me, and. That's somebody ringing in, but we did this in reverse. Wynn called me, and we hooked into the show, so we're going to have to deal with the beeping here. Liz Miller is going to be doing a new show called Otherwhere, and she's from Australia, from down under. So she's going to be doing a show here today at 10 to 11. I want you all to stay tuned for it because it's going to be a wonderful show, and I've spoken to Liz numerous times. Beautiful. I really have come to a place in my life where I don't have too many.
So the celestial sources being far away or, you know, some other star system, actually, that energy can move right into your space. And then it has a voice. And although many of us have felt celestial sources in our space, we felt it in the, all this vibration around us and uplifted, it's not often that vibration and energy has a voice. Like David Wilcock is a super.
Moving her from density 3 through 4.
I really have come to a place in my life where I don't have too.
Better way to do it.
I really have come to a place in my life where I don't have too many questions.
Mm-hmm.
But there are others that have tons of questions, and they haven't reached that place that they're still searching. And, they have tons of questions, and I don't know what they are, and I'm sure, you know, our listeners would love to be able to call up someone like Miss X and just ask away, and if,
well,
if that's in the cards, maybe it's something you can consider and think about.
Maybe we can have one of the sources come through, and you know, we have to be careful with that, because it's so sensitive, and she's so sensitive, but maybe if we filter the questions, We can ask them to a source and have it right on the air.
Yeah.
I think that actually would be a better way to do it.
Okay.
Because, you know what? I don't think it's good to I think she would agree here is that there's a difference between what she knows in her conscious mind and what, you know, what comes through her.
Yeah.
But and the other thing about hooking in with a source. And this is something that is probably new information for most people. So listen to this one carefully. Most people who channel an individual entity. When you channel a group soul, you're not channeling an entity. You're channeling an energy that suddenly has a voice. And that energy is not far and removed. When we think of a celestial source as being far away or, you know, some other star system, actually, that energy can move right into your space. And then it has a voice. And although many of us have felt celestial sources in our space, we felt it in the, all this vibration around us and uplifted, it's not often that vibration and energy has a voice. Like David Wilcock is a super voice for a group soul that is raw. And
just interrupt it. They are very eager to talk right now if you want them. You have to do a protective invocation first.
Okay. Is that okay with you, Don?
I would be delighted.
Okay. Father, Mother, God, I usually do this at the end of the show, but we're going to do a clearing to be right now. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the light to surround and protect all of us present and every person that's listening, no matter where they are.
And we ask that any negativity be taken to the realms, the higher realms of light, and dispersed for the highest good of all concerned. And we ask for the presence of those interdimensional sources operating in the Christed energy, service to others. And do we have a source that would like to say hello to the blog-in audience right now?
We of the celestial realm ask for the protection of Archangel Michael, Archangel Gabriel, Ezekiel, Ra'el, Uriel, the Council of Twelve, the Council of Saturn, the Council overseeing the emanations of the Hunabku. We invoke the Christed consciousness of the Christ light and all sentient beings, animal, Davic, human, involved in the ascension process, taking a on Terra, as we so speak, moving her from density 3 through 4 into 5 and upwards. We presently speak to you from Council of 12, the Oversoul Council of our solar system. Have you questions for us this evening? We are indeed very, very pleased to have this opportunity presented to us for such dissemination of light to so many who can serve and uplift their fellow humans. We take this as a grave responsibility and huge honor. Have you queries for us at this time?
I'll ask a question on the behalf of all those people who are listening. And each person individually wants to know how they can participate in their own life in the best way for the upliftment of this planetary process. Could you share that, please?
Go to the source. Go to the center. Go to what is in your heart. We are trained here in this Western culture especially to ignore the prompts, the intuitive pleadings, the emanations of the heart. Some call it the intuition, the gut instinct. This is almost always correct. We are too rationalistic a culture, too intellectualized a culture. Not that the mental is negative, but the mental, and thus the ego, is to serve the soul, not to be master of the soul. Right now, we are struggling within a third-dimensional structure that is enslaved by rules which serve the ego. The ego dominates world politics, world business, oppression, mercenary war, not the heart. As leaders such as the Dalai Lama have said, strive for compassion for all, for harmlessness for all. For in the end, we are all the same. We all cry. We all hurt. We all need love. We all need food. We all need shelter. We all need each other. Look at your disaster here in the United States. Look at Katrina. Look at what happens when suddenly a natural catastrophe takes away the very existence of life, the technologies which we have come to rely on as the most concrete. They are not the most concrete. physical things are not the most concrete. It is what is in the soul and how we treat others. This indeed is the most concrete. And we will continue to manifest these lessons as long as we are intolerant of others, because others are only aspects of ourselves. The more quickly we can accept ourselves and our own imperfections, the more quickly we can harmonize with others of different dispositions and understand that differences, like colors, like musical tones, like different plates on a table, different delicacies, are to be savored for their differences, not to be juxtaposed and judged one against another. There is room for multitude and plentitude, variety a good thing, not bad. We must learn to rejoice and see beauty in variety. This is one of the most pressing points. There is much polarization, especially here in the United States, in terms of political spectrum. Things become heated here emotionally very quickly. There is an eroding middle class. Canada, Europe, Australia, even India, at this point, has a larger middle class than does the U.S. This started happening in the 70s. In order to have a large middle class, one must have an educated populace. Once the public school systems are eroded and you only have an elite populace and a disinformed populace or a media misinformed populace, then divisiveness can start. This is what has happened in the United States. The U.S. is actually at a very critical juncture because karmically she is a way shower for the rest of the world. And yet, there is much she has to learn from others, especially as regards humility. Americans have many, many good things in their character. But the one American characteristic, we speak generally now, of course, archetypally, not of individual people, is the country as a whole must learn to cooperate as part of a world, must learn to take her place among the world stage, not as a braggart, not as the mightiest and the greatest, not as a teenage rebellious soul, for she is a young country. She must learn to cooperate.